Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
We're just going to jump right into Philippians chapter 4. If you have the app, you can follow along with the sermon notes. It's just under more and then sermon notes, and it'll be under today's date and message. Philippians chapter 4. Last week, we ended at verse 1, and so we're going to just start right at verse 2. I implore you, Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. We hear some names that may mean very little to us. Euodia, Syntyche, Clement. But the church in Philippi would know them. Sometimes I feel awkward when we talk about people here on a Sunday. We'll talk about we're sending a gift to the Brazies. And if you don't know who the Brazies are, if you don't know that there are missionaries, one of our Foursquare missionary families in serving in Germany, you might think they're in South Calgary, or might not know who they are. The push notification that showed up about what's happening today came out on Friday to your mobile device would have said that R&R leading worship. Rest and relaxation. Like, if you don't know that that's Rosanna and Ramon, and that's a little bit like Euodia, Syntyche, Clement, we don't know who they are. There's some speculation about Clement. It just, this is where they show up, and we don't know. But the church in Philippi would know. We know that these two ladies are not getting along. And we don't know who the true companion is that Paul is writing to. But what I like is Paul doesn't pick sides. He doesn't get in the middle of it. From his Roman prison, writing to the church in Philippi, he doesn't get his nose too much into the details or picking side. I implore you and I implore you. That word implore, it means more than just I encourage you. It means this, I call you to this because of who you are in the Lord. And we'll talk about that. I remember when our kids were little, sometimes they would have disagreements. I know if you've met my children, they're so sweet, you might not think that sugar would melt in their mouths. But there were times when they would have disagreements. And I think more often than not, Audrey and I wouldn't get in the middle of it. We would simply say this, you need to make this right. You need to go make this right, and you need to do it now. So rather than getting in and all the nuances of he did, she did, they did, whatever happened, listen, you need to live up to your name because you're a Marston. You need to live up to your name. You need to make this right because we stick together. Now go, and it would involve something about asking for and receiving forgiveness. But it was just this point of this doesn't happen here. You need to make this right because of who you are. Now, you may think you're grateful that we weren't your parents. But it's this moment, and I feel like that's what Paul is doing. I implore you, and I implore you. You need to make this right. He says, be of the same mind in the Lord. Because of who you are and because of whose you are, you need to make this right. Whatever the disagreement, let there not be a disagreement, a breaking of relationship, a schism named among you. Make it right in the Lord. And I think as a church, we too always need to walk aware of that admonishment and that charge to these two individuals. Make it right and do it now. Make it right and do it now. And his instructions go on about this true companion, and he's writing to the church. He's writing saying, let your gathering, let your church be an environment in which people can make it right. Help them. Lean into restoring that relationship, not picking sides. He'll say that they're proven workers in the kingdom, that they've proven themselves faithful. And when Paul writes about their names and others, he says about whose names are written in the book of life. When Scripture talks about your names written in the book of life, there are a few places where it says that phrase, and it refers to people who have faced persecution, who have faced struggle, who have faced heartache, and still remain faithful. And he uses that phrase, whose names are written in the book of life. Make it right, do it now. I implore you, I call you to this for who you are and whose you are. I call you to this, be of the same mind in the Lord. Ibukun read from Philippians chapter 2. Be of the same mind, be in one accord. And then Paul, remember from prison, the next verse he says this, the context of where he's writing from. He says this, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Paul does not remind them. He is not saying, hey, remember to rejoice. Doesn't say that. It says, rejoice in the Lord. There's this phrase, shows up through Philippians again and again. It's this in the Lord. He reminds them to rejoice. These two ladies are not getting along. Right? Rejoice in the Lord. See, when he says in the Lord, he reminds them and he reminds us that everything changes when you're in Christ. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. There's a transformation that takes place if you are in Christ, if you are in the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, he will tell them, he doesn't just say, be strong. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You are in Christ, and that changes everything from a mere human perspective to work things out. At one point, he will write to another church, and he'll say, you're acting like mere mortals. You're behaving as if you haven't got the life and the power and the presence of the Spirit of God within you. You're in Christ, and so that gives us a new vantage point. It gives us a new perspective. Not only are you in your circumstance, but you are in the Lord, and that makes all the difference. You can always rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. He is writing from prison, and he's not just writing from a high office tower somewhere, some administrative position, and doesn't know how it works on the field, doesn't know how it works in real life, because he's writing to the church in Philippi. From a prison cell where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Because this church in Philippi, I don't think we've read from Acts chapter 16. We may have referenced it before. But listen to the story when Paul was with this church in Philippi. Wasn't yet a church there with these people. Acts 16 verse 22 says this. Then the multitude rose up together against them, against Paul and Silas. The magistrates tore off their clothes. We don't see that in the Sunday school story. They tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods when they had laid many stripes on them. They threw them in prison. Threw them. Doesn't say, and they placed them gently and escorted. And they threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Verse 24 says, having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. In a moment, the foundation was shaken, the doors were opened, chains were loosed. Paul writes to this church in Philippi, this church that began when he was there in prison. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't act and live like God is distant. The Lord is at hand. When Jesus came preaching in the Gospels, we'd hear this phrase, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Other phrases and versions and times it will say, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. He's saying, let your gentleness be known. The Lord is near. You're not abandoned. The Lord is here. His plans, his purposes, the Lord is near. He's not off and distant. Jesus, Emmanuel, we sang the words Emmanuel, Messiah, Emmanuel, the God who draws near, the God who comes close. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be known. The Lord is at hand. Gentleness in the midst of persecution. This strength under control, tremendous strength under tremendous control. Raising a ruckus is not fitting. That word gentleness, it actually has to do with it being suitable. Gentleness, it suits you. It's fitting. Not only does he instruct them to rejoice in the Lord, and we can do that in the Lord our Savior, in the Lord our Healer, in the Lord our King, in the Lord our Protector, in the Lord our Help, our Hope, our Refuge, our Redeemer. The Lord, just on, we've got so many reasons to rejoice in the Lord and who he is. Our Redeemer, he tells us this. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love how the New Living Translation says this. It says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Sometimes people live, sometimes maybe we can get trapped into this. We might not say it out loud, but sometimes our actions can show it. Why pray when we can worry? Instead, Scripture says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. There's a man named Ian McLaren who wrote this over 100 years ago. What does your anxiety do? It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. It does not make you escape the evil. It makes you unfit to cope with it when it comes. He continued to write, God gives us the power to bear all of the sorrows of his making, but does not guarantee to give us strength to bear the burdens of our own making, such as worry induces. Essentially, he's saying this, God gives you the grace and strength to face all of your troubles, just not your imaginary ones. Just not the ones that you're worrying about, the what-ifs and the could-bes that haven't arrived yet. That kind of worry, it just saps the strength from you today. Rejoice in the Lord. And he says this. Watch this. Rejoice in the Lord, and as you do, you will need to bring those things that could normally make you anxious, that could cause you worry, that you could be nervous about, that you could just be stressed about. Do you know what you call a ship that lies at the bottom of the ocean and twitches? It's a nervous wreck. But I thought, what an appropriate time for a joke. Ben and Ibukun, hopefully you appreciated that. The things that you would normally be stressed out, those things that would be your response without Christ. Anxiety, stress, worry. Those things, he says, bring to the Lord, bring to God in prayer with thanksgiving. We've got so many things to be thankful for. Even in those things that could normally cause us to fret and to worry and to be anxious, to be stressed. We can, as we bring those, we can remember and declare that God is still on the throne, that he knows the thing at the end of a thing from the beginning, that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. That nothing catches him off guard, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us mightily. And so as we begin to pray, we begin to thank him, and we bring those things to him and we leave them with him, there is something that happens. Paul says, in this, there will be a transformation that takes place. Not only is there a peace that is available to you, there will be a peace that is imparted to you as you do that. It's not just accessible and available. It will be imparted to you as you do this. Instead of focusing and meditating and mulling over the things that can cause you worry and anxiety and stress and fretting, instead of that reigning in you and affecting your perspective and your vantage point, instead, bring those things to the Lord with thanksgiving that God is God's. With thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known to God, and something that happens, there is an impartation of peace. And it says, through Christ Jesus, a peace that is imparted to us because we're in the Lord. That word that says that his peace will guard our hearts and minds, I've mistakenly referred to it before as an umpire. I'd heard that taught before, and that it's a peace that comes like an umpire that will rule safe or out, just kind of make a ruling and allow something in or not. But that's not the picture that Scripture paints. It's not what this word means about guarding your heart. It's a military word. Listen to what it, when it says that his peace will guard your heart and mind. This is the definition: to guard, protect by a military guard, either to prevent a hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. It's a garrison that moves in, that is established. It's a military establishment that guards a city, that protects from a hostile invasion of worry, anxiety, and stress. And it so guards the city that it doesn't let peace escape. Paul is writing as he's under guard. He understands this. He's writing from a prison cell with a Roman guard. He says, if you'll do this, instead of worrying and being stressed and anxious, bringing those things with thanksgiving to God and leaving them with him, you will be surrounded by a permanent military installation that will guard anxiety from getting in and peace from getting out. But he goes on to say, you've got a choice to make, that you get to partner with God. And we talked about this when we talked about to work out our own salvation in this book, earlier in Philippians. For it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's this partnership. And Paul encourages us and exhorts us for a partnership right now. There's a peace that's established and guarded, but don't you open the door. Don't you swing the doors wide open. It says this in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, the word is meditate. Meditate on these things. He'll go on to say the things you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. After you pray and you give your concerns to God, don't take them back by talking about them like you would have before you prayed. By thinking about them like you would have before you prayed, as if somehow you just prayed into the thin air. You prayed to God, the creator of all that there is. You brought those burdens and those worries, those anxieties, those concerns to him. Now don't talk, don't think like a worldly mindset. We're trusting in God. He says, pray, give these concerns to God, and don't take them back. Take those thoughts captive. Meditate, which is not mindlessness. It is mindfulness. It's not just trying to empty our minds. It is mindfulness. Think on these things. So everything are true and pure and lovely and good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. And then he says, and what you've learned and heard and saw and received from me, how I lived and what I said, the teaching that I gave you, follow that. What I didn't taught, do these things. And not only will there be a peace that resides within you and that guards your heart and mind, he says this, and the God of peace will be with you. See, it's not just that we want the benefits that God brings. We want God. We want him. It's this God. The Lord is at hand. Emmanuel, God with us. We want God near us. It's not just about the peace he brings. He is the Prince of Peace. And that God comes close and draws near. He says, the things that you saw and heard and learned from me while I was imprisoned and set free. After being beaten and imprisoned, there was a song in my heart. And not only was there a song in his heart, that song came out of his mouth. It's like God liked that tune so much, he started to tap his foot and the whole earth started to shake. At least the foundations of that prison. And he was set free. And the church heard that Paul was in prison again in Rome, and they sent a gift from Epaphroditus. We're coming in the home stretch of this book and of this series. Verse 10 says this. This is, do you remember we talked about that this is a thank you letter to the church in Philippi for the gift that they sent? This is the moment where Paul thanks them, sort of. It's a thank you-ish. Watch what he says, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but lacked opportunity. We weren't together. You always cared. We didn't miss that, but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need. Here's the point. For I have learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Here's the verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me strength. Verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. He writes to them and says, you've always cared. Your care was never in question. You've always cared. And now you've demonstrated that again in meeting my needs. But just so you know, your gift was helpful. Thank you. Appreciated. Your kindness. Again, it flourished. Thank you. But let's not define it unnecessarily as what I needed. Because whether you gave or whether you didn't, I can still get through this because I'm in Christ. I'm grateful. But that's not what saved me. That's not what's getting me through. I'm grateful. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So whether your gift shows up or another one comes after this, I can get through this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What Jesus has called me to do, I can do because I am in the Lord. The last few verses, verse 15 says this. Now you Philippians know that also that in the beginning of the gospel, when he was at the church in Philippi, when I departed from Macedonia, he moved on from there. No church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Your gifts followed me where I went. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. I have all and I abound, I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Thank you. The fact that you gave and you gave again and you gave again, what you gave and how you gave, he says, well done. Your gift helped me, but notice this, but it was pleasing to God. What you did for me, your gift, your sacrifice was noticed in heaven. And that's what's imparted into your account, the fruit. God's noticed what you've done as you've cared for people. Verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. God's our source. He's mine. He's yours. He will supply all that you need in Christ Jesus. Paul's living that. He's not hanging on to the gift. He's not asking for another contribution. Pass the plate again. He's grateful. But he's saying his supply is in Christ, and so is yours. He'll conclude these last verses. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you, and all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I love this phrase. Caesar's household says hi. The Roman guards and servants, as I've been imprisoned here, they're coming to faith in Christ. They're joining the family, and they send their greetings. They've heard about you, and they say hi. Those who have come to faith during his imprisonment. And I love that he says, not just grace to you, but the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that's the worship team to go ahead and join me. Philippians chapter 4, he says, I implore you and you and you, make it right. Be a community, be an environment where we can be in agreement in the Lord because we're following Jesus together. He reminds us that we've always got reason to rejoice. Always got reason to rejoice. Jesus would even say, when some amazing things were happening with the disciples and seeing supernatural stuff take place, he said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. We've always got a reason to rejoice. Let your rejoicing, let it show up. Let it be shown. But not just let your rejoicing be shown. Let your gentleness be known. Let your gentleness be known. Let your gentleness be known. Don't be stressed. Pray, and as you do, there will be a peace that will be imparted to you that will guard your heart and mind. It's not just, don't just leave that all up to God. Partner with Him by being careful to what you think about, what you allow into your mind, what you think about. Let the things that are true and noble and good and right go over and over and over in your mind. There is a difference between murmuring all the negative and meditating on these things. Let's be clear on our needs. In a weekend where we've just walked through Black Friday and we're a Cyber Monday weekend, let's be clear on our needs. Whether we have a lot or a little, God is our source. He'll supply and we can get through anything because we are in Christ and He gives us strength. And what Paul said to the church in Philippi, I would say to you, Cornerstone Church, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.